Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Always Be a Big Deal podcast. This week, we are going to have a part two with Miss Cherry Falwell. That and so much more on this episode of Always Be a Big Deal. Together we can conquer anything, we'll never fail. Always be a big deal. Hello.
Hello.
We had to get you back, like, right away or something.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it really is. Yeah, and I'm sorry I missed your first call. My mother sent me like a package and I was grabbing it off the porch.
Oh, so now you're doing an unboxing.
Yeah, which I don't know, is that ever taken off in like in a podcasting realm where you can't see anything so it's not satisfying? I don't know.
Not really. But fuck it, give it a try. I mean, anything.
So she sent me Girl Scout cookies, which I am super excited about. It's all food.
She knows you well.
I know, right? No, I was seriously looking for like a gift card or something. I mean, come on. But no, it was very sweet of her. I'm glad that it was nice that she sent that. But yeah, it's all Girl Scout cookies and she sent me lemon Kit Kats too. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, the lemon Kit Kats are actually pretty good. AB and I have tried those.
Yeah, I kind of love that there are so many like weird flavors of Kit Kats now in America, because it used to be like you'd see all the cool Kit Kats like overseas, but now we get some of the good stuff too.
Yeah, it definitely has swept the nation. But and I were talking yesterday and we were like, well, let's have you back on for next week's episode to do a little part two, since there's always things that you and I can talk about and converse about. And first, did you listen to last week's episode?
Of course. I wanted to hear how horrible I sounded. And yeah, so I got that out of the way.
I actually thought you sounded pretty good, though.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it's one of those things, I just don't like hearing my own voice. But I love talking, so it's really a conundrum.
You're good. So on that topic of like not liking the sound of your voice, I can completely relate to you on that. That's actually why I started podcasting in the first place, was because I hated the sound of my voice. I would talk all the time and still hated the sound of my voice. So I started podcasting because I was trying to like make myself love my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now it doesn't bother me at all. Like I listen to every single episode, no cap. Every week I listen to every single episode, and I do it because like I want to hear like sound quality and like different things, like different transitions, different stuff like that to improve.
Yeah.
And my voice doesn't bother me at all. I've actually gotten a lot of compliments on my voice, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, you have such a radio voice. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't have a radio
face.
You
do. You have a radio voice. Yeah. Did you say you have a radio face?
I said I don't.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad. Good. Yeah. We're going to be positive. No, but actually, it's funny that you said that about the, doing podcasts to kind of like desensitize yourself to your own voice. I actually did, this is going to sound silly, but we talked a little bit about like body image and stuff like that. And I don't know, I just always felt a certain way about the way that I looked. So, I right after I got divorced, I started taking selfies more often, and it kind of like desensitized me to the way that I look and the way that other people see me. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not bad. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's like that kind of way of thinking, honestly, I think it does help, like kind of desensitizing yourself from things that you might not really like about yourself.
Yeah. And it also had like that, I've always been a very creative person, and these dang dogs. Kingsley, you don't need to bark at everyone, please.
That might be the gayest thing I've ever seen you do, and I've seen you in a dress.
What?
Just the way you said your dog's name. I thought it was funny.
But yeah, like it's ownership. Like that's where I was going with that. It's like, you know, like owning, like, in your creativeness, you're owning like who you are as a person. So like, and that's the beauty of being creative, is you can own those things that you don't typically like about yourself. Like my voice with podcasting, and also like I feel like you can relate to that a little bit with drag and embracing your body for that as well.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with drag, it's not just the body stuff too, but it's also like we kind of talked about a little bit last week, the way that stand up is kind of a good cathartic, almost therapeutic kind of form of creativity for me, because I can talk about mental health stuff, or I can make jokes about relationships, and I can talk about the kind of weird religious upbringing that I had, or stuff like, you know what I mean? So it's a way to kind of get all that stuff off your chest. While you have like fake boobs on your chest, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's acting, darling. It's acting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it is just a really nice way of, getting all that stuff out. So definitely it's helpful, but, it's also a way to kind of cope with just the day-to-day stuff too. So like my job, my regular job, I'm a 911 dispatcher, and we get a lot of really insane calls. So being able to make jokes about some of the things that people call in about, obviously excluding any details that would make anything identifiable or anything like that. I don't know. It's a nice way of kind of like coping with the stress of that job.
Yeah. What's the craziest story you've ever gotten, like when they call in?
So I think of a couple. A lot of times, I don't know, people think that 911 is going to be like that show, I guess, right? Have you ever watched that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's nothing like that. Like, there's never been like a tornado that picked up a boat and rammed it into somebody's house or anything like that. I don't know if that's happened, but it sounds like it's something that happened on that show. It's not like that at all. It's actually kind of like listening to a radio version of like daytime talk shows, like Mari or something like that. I guess it's a lot of people yelling. But I think the craziest call, one time someone bought a house at auction, and they were going through the house for the first time, you know, getting ready to kind of like move in and everything. And they found a dead body on the stairs.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So this person had been there for a while. And I think they actually were the like previous owner of the house. I don't know that for sure. Because unfortunately it is a little bit like unsatisfying. We don't get a lot of follow-up on these calls. We just get the initial information that people give us. But I feel like I don't know how any of that happened, like how nobody walked through the house, but that was definitely really crazy.
Yeah, that's definitely crazy.
And then I think probably one of the craziest situations, though, was this this woman had called, and her sister lost her phone, which you think isn't a reason to call 911, but she lost her phone because she sat on it. And it went inside her. And what I think is just nuts about this is, so she's like very calm, and I didn't take this call, somebody else did. She's very calm. She tells the operator, well, I've been trying to get it for about 15 or 20 minutes, but I can't get a good grip on it. This woman is on the phone fisting her sister. Like, she's fucking elbow deep in there trying to get this phone out. And honestly, like, I want some information from the sister. Like, I want to know how loose is this woman's ass that she could just sit down and swallow up a Samsung Galaxy or something. Like, how is this happening?
It's insane.
It's crazy. And the way that the other woman was talking about it was just like, this is just what happens to her, you know? Like, these are the stories that she has. Like, she'll go to the grocery store and run into a friend and be like, oh God, you'll never guess what Crystal sat on this time. You know? It was Pringles. Pringles is the name of our Yorkie. But like, it's just so calm. But anyway, no. So the responders got there and they were getting ready to take her out to the ambulance, her sister out to the ambulance to take her to the hospital. And she said, okay, well, I got to put my shoes on. She put her shoes on, felt something in her shoe. It was her phone. She had dropped her phone into her shoe. Her sister was just giving it to her good for no fucking reason. But I'm sure they bonded, I guess.
That's definitely a bonding moment. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Gross. So, you know, 911, it's not as exciting as the TV show, but there's some crazy stories, that's for sure.
Yeah. My aunt is a nurse in a hospital, and she always tells us stories of like people that come in with like the craziest thing. And she said that there was this guy one time that walked in and he had a trench coat on, and he came in and said like he had something lodged in his penis, and they were like, okay, well, they were like, well, take off all your clothes. He literally opens up the trench coat and he's butt naked underneath of it.
Wow.
Well, they ended up finding like 6 Christmas lights in his urethra.
Were they like the big, they weren't like the C9s, like the big, like vintage Christmas, right? They were just a little.
Yeah, the little ones.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter either way. See, my penis is a one-way system. Like, nothing's going in there. It's, yeah, oh God, that would be terrible. That's awful.
Yeah. that is crazy. I was like,
and they're like glass too.
Yeah, that's where my mind went, was like, oh my god, like the feeling of that coming out, like,
I would just pray that it wouldn't break, because that would be terrifying. Ugh. Oof.
Yeah, like she didn't go into details on how they got him out, which that was the cool part, and I don't know why she didn't. Maybe because we were kids, and like, well, teenagers, and she didn't want to like go into like major detail on things. But yeah, she used to tell some crazy stories about being a nurse.
Yeah, well, my boyfriend is an EMT, and I guess it was like a couple years ago now, he was working at a doctor's office, and occasionally he would have to like answer calls. And this one woman called in, and she wanted to know if it was okay if she could suck dick with strep throat. Like, that was the whole reason she was calling.
So what's the answer?
So, okay, I did learn this, because this is, okay, PSA time. It is not safe for you to suck dick if you have strep throat, because you can give someone strep dick.
What?
Isn't that insane?
That is insane. I've never known that.
Yeah. Don't Google it right now.
I mean, if, yeah, especially if you're listening, because you're probably driving.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, if you are listening, actually, if you are parked in a safe location, I think you should Google it. But I was telling you specifically not to Google it right now. But maybe we could make that like the picture for the episode. No, I'm just kidding.
That would definitely get listeners.
Yeah. So you can actually, you can give someone, that's the episode title, strep dick. You can give someone strep dick, and not only just that, you can give someone strep ass too. So rimming is off the table as well.
Oh my god, you just can't have any fun at all, because you can't make out with them.
No, you just gotta wait it out. You just gotta wait it out. It'll get better, you know. But I loved the idea of this woman. Like, I just pictured her. She had like a tote bag full of Ricolas. She was ready to go out the door and suck some dick, but just couldn't make it.
She was like looking in her planner, and she was like, oh my gosh, I have a dick appointment today, and my throat really hurts, and my doctor just diagnosed me with strep. I better call in. I better check and make sure it's okay that I still suck dick today.
Yeah. Well, I think honestly, I the world needs more people like her. I think absolutely. You know, it's insane to me that women still make less money than men if that's the kind of work ethic they're bringing to the table. Like, when I when I'm sick, I don't want to get out of bed. And if I do, it's just to go to the couch. Like, I'm not going anywhere. But this woman, she's doing things.
Yeah.
You know, she was going to do probably a load of laundry after that. Like, do her taxes.
I just want to know how many hours she spent on Google actually trying to figure it out.
None. She just called in. I mean, she's very like, I guess maybe she's kind of old school. I have no clue.
I mean,
it's just crazy. But yeah, it is interesting hearing stories from people that work in those kinds of positions that can be kind of like high stress, like, you know, being a nurse or an EMT or, you know, 911 too. You think they're going to be high stress and very like action packed, but I don't know. Sometimes they're just really, really silly.
Extremely silly.
Because people are silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
So speaking of Ryan, did Ryan listen to last week's episode?
He did, yes.
Did he give you any critiques?
He told me that I shouldn't be so hard on myself as far as like my voice is concerned. And he made fun of me for talking about Hacks and Shrill. We both really like those shows. We watched them altogether.
Yeah.
And he was just like, of course you would mention them. But yeah, we've definitely had that conversation before about like, representation and stuff, but, yeah, it was just more like gentle, like poking fun at me.
Oh, okay. The couple shows thing, that is something that David and I have too.
Wait, what's that?
So like as a couple, we watch like certain shows together.
Oh yeah, no, totally. And well, we've been doing that with Drag Race. So he's getting into it now. Like, I don't know. It's something that just he never really got into before, and now he's really leaning into it. And we're starting to go back and watch old seasons together too, which is kind of fun.
That is fun.
Yeah, and also it's like there are certain. There's like certain music and stuff that are just like not even just music. It's like little catchphrases or quotes from the show or things like that that we wind up like using with one another and that he'll use to friend. Oh, God, I feel so bad. So he you know, the song Meeting in the Ladies Room?
Yes.
Okay, the climax. I think it has one of the best opening lines of like any song that. I had to leave my condo for this because it's so stupid. It's like so ridiculous. And we watched the lip sync that was to that, like that episode. And he told me that he made his friend listen to that song like 5 or 6 times in one night. And I'm just like, I am so sorry for doing this to you. But no, it's cute. Like what are you guys' couple shows? Like what do you guys watch together?
Definitely Drag Race. Uh-huh. We even got WoW Presents Plus just to watch like the other ones like in different countries.
Okay.
The morning show. It's got Reese Witherspoon and oh my God, why can't I ever remember her name?
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It's good. It's really good. What I love about this show is they bring out the current events that are going on and they create a storyline around it. The first season was a lot of the Me Too movement. The second season dealt with COVID and Black Lives Matter. And then the third season had like January 6th.
That's interesting. I do have a question for you that where were you on January 6th?
I was at work.
I was too. I was still in Maryland. I was working in like for an alarm company, I think. I don't know. I've had a couple of weird jobs.
It was like one of those things where like you had no clue what was going on. And then randomly you were like, oh, that happened?
Yeah. Everyone was just, they were very calm about it. Even though it was this big, insane thing. It was just like, oh, people are storming the Capitol. What are we getting for lunch? And it was like... It's like, oh, okay, sure, the government's gonna collapse, but you know, Chipotle please.
it's kind of like 9/11 in a way, though, if you think about it. Like there was like a big group of people that were like panicking, and then you had those ones that was like, oh my God, I'm so mad that I cannot get through to get to this store because I really wanted that Gucci bag.
Well, okay, so 9/11, I was a freshman in high school, and I remember just like I would watch. I just couldn't stop watching the news. Like, I just kept watching the same thing, like, over and over and over and over again. Because it was just, I don't know, it just felt like something really insane was happening.
Yeah.
And then, Jesus, this is kind of awful, but me and Ryan talk about this a lot. Like, sometimes he'll ask me, like, oh, what were you doing on 9/11? And I'll tell him for, like, the millionth time. And then I'll say, you know what I was doing? Nothing, because I wasn't born. Just like shut up. It's so stupid.
I mean, I was in fifth grade. I think I was like 11. I literally remember that I had an air cast on my leg because I was outside, you know, doing play things, and I was like hitting a tennis ball in the air.
Yeah.
Running around the yard, like hitting it up and hitting it up and hitting it up. I ended up slipping on the grass and I slid into the sandbox where there was a nail on the side of it.
Ooh.
And it went right into my knee. So I had an air cast on. And I remember when I went to school and like I had my leg propped up on the chair and everything. And I hope that teachers like learned their lesson on like how to approach things with kids when they're younger like that. Because they def freaked us the fuck out.
Yeah, it was definitely really a weird experience. I mean, I'm sure it probably wasn't in like the manual for how to go about that. Is it wrong that my takeaway from this story was that I think that you were really lucky that you broke a bone when you were a kid? Like, I didn't break a bone until I was 25. I broke my arm out of the way early.
Yeah, well, so technically I've never broken a bone.
Oh, what? You said you were in a cast, right?
Well, so because they did stitches, and because when it hit my kneecap, it caused some damage so that it would like heal correctly, they put me in an air cast.
Oh, okay. I'm also an idiot. I don't really think I even know what an air cast is. That's something I'll Google that. You Google strep dick.
Strep dick and air cast.
Yeah, that's great. Air cast my strep dick. That's merch right there. I'm giving you ideas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, so you've never broken a bone?
No, I've never broken a bone.
Wow. Okay. Now I was 25 and I had just learned how to ride a bike, which I also did not learn how to do when I was a child, which makes it sound like I had a weird childhood. It was weird, but it was not bad. My parents were very nice. I don't know. I just feel like that's like a dad thing, like something that dads are supposed to teach you. And while my dad was always in the picture, it always felt like he was just in the other room.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we spent a ton of time together. Yeah. No, I learned how to ride my bike when I was 25. Shortly after that, broke my arm because I fell off of it.
Oh.
Well, I hope you don't. I hope you've actually made it to the point where you're just not going to break anything at this point.
I hope so too. You know, that's so like when they told me that I was lactose intolerant and I had to stop like drinking milk and eating ice cream and stuff like that, I was a little scared because I was like, oh my God, my bones are going to get brittle.
Well, what alternative milk do you drink?
So I drink Fairlife.
Okay. So like the milk that isn't really milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
It tastes like milk, but it doesn't have the lactose in it. I feel like it tastes more like milk than the other alternatives do.
I don't know. I lean into it. I'm really stereotypical. I like oat milk. Well, I guess it depends on what you're doing. This is why we're able to like talk for an hour, though, because we've literally gone from like, I think we were supposed to talk about drag, but then we started talking about 9/11 and then broken bones. And now we're talking about alternative milk.
There's so much stuff that we could talk about. I mean, that's literally like when you get into like the rhythm with somebody and you like it flows that way. Like I like when it just keeps going and going and going, and then when you listen back to it, it's like we never actually finished talking about the alternative milk. Damn it, next week we're gonna have to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean we've barely even scratched the surface on alternative milk.
Don't even get me started with cashew milk.
I don't know what that is, and I don't believe in it. Is that a real one?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
There's cashew, oat, almond, and then there's like the fake milk that you called it, the Fairlife stuff.
I don't know. The cashew milk, I feel like if it hasn't trickled down to Aldi, I don't know about it.
It's too bougie for Aldi.
No, the funny thing about that is, though, like I do almost all of my grocery shopping at either Aldi or I go to Wegmans. Like that fills in the gap.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of like very down to earth and then mildly bougie with Wegmans.
Yeah, I love Wegmans, though. They have so much stuff.
It's so good. Wegmans. So I moved from Erie to this town like half hour south called Meadville. When I moved, I remember Ryan asking me like, what do you think you're gonna miss about Erie? And I was just like, Wegmans. But I'm up there a lot for work anyway, so it's whatever. I can still like go in there and get my stuff. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. So like sometimes like for dinner and stuff, like we'll go in there and we'll get the stuff off the hot bar.
Oh yeah.
And then we'll buy their chocolate chip cookies.
I'm a sucker for the little olive bar thing that they have with like the dolmas, like the little grape leaves that are stuffed with rice and stuff like that. And then the olives with the feta.
I'm not a huge olive person.
I don't like it when they're just like, there's so much of the brine in the thing. Really, that bugs me.
We'll be right back with more Always Be a Big Deal podcast right after this. This Friday, catch us for an episode of Chasing Fruit Flies, where we cover the Quiet on Set documentary. And now, let's take a moment to hear the trailer for the new series on Max. All four episodes are now streaming.
In the early 90s, Nickelodeon was kid everything. And you better hope that your house had cable.
Wasn't there to educate you. We were there to have fun, to get slimed, to be entertained.
And this is when Dan Schneider arrives,
Nickelodeon's golden boy. He created these shows that were hugely successful for them.
No one had ever really done sketch comedy starring kids for kids.
He launched the careers of child actors who became major stars.
For 20 years, he shaped children's entertainment and culture.
Thank you for being here.
But that marked one of the darkest chapters.
Join Jess and I on Chasing Fruit Flies this Friday as we dive into the series and discover what happened at the Nickelodeon Studios in the late 90s and early 2000s. All episodes are now streaming on Max, brought to you by ID Channel. Listen to Chasing Fruit Flies every Friday on the RSS feed for Always Be a Big Deal podcast. You can find this show, Always Be a Big Deal, and Can I Eat It, anywhere that you get podcasts. Now, back to the show.
This is kind of funny. The very first time that I ever met Ryan, I had bought like a thing of olives and like feta and stuff like that. And it was in a bag, and somehow like we went camping, and like a pair of his shorts like wound up in the same bag, and the olives kind of like leaked a little bit, that brine, because they put too much brine in it. There's like a little spot on his shorts after that from that. And we, I don't know, a little bit after that went hiking, and he was wearing those shorts, and he was just like, I don't know what this stain is. I cannot get it out. And I felt so like, I felt so responsible and just like bad about it. I was like, I have to tell you the truth. I know what the stain is. But I don't know. So now anytime I get it, I feel like we both like just immediately think about that time.
Yeah. Makes for lasting memories.
Oh yeah. Good old olive juice.
So speaking of relationships, and I don't know how I'm transitioning from olives to this.
It happens. We went from 9/11 to broken bones. It's fine.
What's your stance on like monogamy and open relationships?
Okay, so I am one of those people that's like not gonna yuck somebody else's yum. Like if you're into it, go for it. Like do your thing. But for me personally, I am very jealous. So I don't think that would ever really work for me. For me, it's just monogamy the whole way. I don't know. I'm really sensitive, and I feel like an open relationship I would just wind up getting hurt. So
yeah, I am 100% monogamy too. And I think that's very like different to be that way in our community. And like, if it works for other people, cool, that's fine. Like, you know, like you just said, do your thing, have fun with it. Me personally, I am a very jealous person. Like I am so jealous that David literally got a call from somebody the other day, and it was a guy, and his voice was slightly gay, and I was like, who the hell is that? And like, I lost it. I was like all over the place. And you know, that's my anxiety picking up, but I'm a very jealous person. I could never let my partner go be with somebody else and be okay with it, or watch them be with somebody else and be okay with it. Like I would just fume inside and just snap.
Yeah, I don't think that it's something that really works for me. But at the same time though, I'm not one of those people that like, if someone else is like, if a friend of mine is in an open relationship or something, I'm not going to like preach to them about how, oh, well, this is definitely like monogamy is definitely the right way to do it. Everybody's got their own way of handling their own life. And I don't know. I think there are a lot of people in open relationships, though, sometimes that will try to like convert you to their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not everybody. I'm not like, I am kind of generalizing a little bit, but it's definitely not everybody. But I notice it on like TikTok or things like that, where people will, or there's one person that I'm friends with, I think on my drag account that I don't even really know him at all. I don't know. You get weird friends when you have a drag account, and you get weird, weird messages when you have a drag account.
You get weird messages when you have a page in general, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, but the drag ones are just like so bizarre. But no, so he just, I feel like he tries to like convert people to being in like non-monogamous relationships. And I just think that relationships are very broad, and they're like people, you know, everybody's very different. So everybody's relationship is going to be different. And as long as, you know, I think if you're coming across somebody that their relationship might look different than yours, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just, it's what works for them. Because I know that even though like I'm in a good old fashioned monogamous relationship, people might look at us and think that our relationship is, well, people definitely do and have looked at us and thought that our relationship was weird because, you know, because we're gay, because we do have an age difference. But I don't know. I just don't think people should be so judgy. It's your relationship. So it doesn't really hurt other people.
So what is you and Ryan's age difference?
So he's 21. I'm 36. So we have a 15-year age difference.
Oh, that's the same. David and I are 15 years as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's 46 and I just turned 33.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really all what works for you. I know with having like an age difference, at least in like in our relationship, we've had discussions about power dynamics and things like that. And I think that every relationship has those dynamics. So some people kind of miss out on having those conversations. Like for us, it kind of felt like something we needed to talk about and be aware of early on. And I don't know. I think that sometimes if you're closer in age, you maybe don't have the kind of conversations about the dynamics of how the relationship functions or how you fit together. And it can kind of get lost. I don't know.
David and I have had that conversation, and that, you know, caused a little friction at first. But now that like we figured it out, it's smoothed out and it's good. And then another thing is this, like you and Ryan, I feel like you guys wouldn't like really like butt heads on this very much, but like because David's like in a different generation than us and hasn't like grown up in the same customary world that we did, It's just like it sometimes he sees things differently, like, and it I kind of get like my reaction to it just kind of upsets him a little bit. But I'll give you an example. So us being gay, like I grew up in a time where like it started to become more acceptable to be gay, Even though it wasn't 100% acceptable. But like holding hands in public or hugging in public or kissing in public, like any public display of affection, he's like, no, like I don't want to start problems. I'm good. And I'm more like, oh, give me a hug. You know what I mean? So like I think he's starting to like get better with it and more comfortable with it. But like, I feel like he's very like standoffish with a lot of that stuff, where I'm not, because I'm the type of person that's like, who cares if they shoot me because I'm happy, then go ahead. That's on them.
Well, we're definitely in different generations. It's a little bit different. Like as far as PDA and stuff like that's concerned, I think we're both pretty comfortable with that. But also we both can kind of like read the room. If we're in a place that it might not be the best idea to do that, then you know, we don't necessarily. I think a lot of our generational stuff is actually just, well, I mean, I do think that there are like some attitude differences and things like that. But to be honest, I feel like most of it is, sometimes I just don't understand what the fuck he's saying. Like, I need you to explain what this, the new youth lingo is, please. And then I sound like I'm 100 years old because I'm just like, I don't understand. But he told me once that the way that he texts me is different than the way that he texts his friends, because he'll actually just write things out when he sends it to me, and he'll use like, I guess, abbreviations and phrases that I would just be like, what the hell does that mean? So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't do the I always text everything out. So like, I mean, David usually does too. He uses like you and stuff sometimes, but
I hate that. Sorry, David.
Like, I feel like the new generation kind of like uses like emojis and like stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you. Okay, so this is actually a perfect example of this. So I'm a little bit, as far as technology is concerned, I'm a little bit stupid. So do you know how, like, I don't know if this is just like an Apple thing, like just an iPhone thing or whatever, but when you're texting someone, you can send them like stickers.
Oh yeah, you can do that on everything. But I have an iPhone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, him and I both have iPhones. So he'll take like pictures that we'll send one another. Like he takes the worst pictures of me, by the way. Like just the absolute worst. And he blamed it, like last night he blamed it on being shorter, and that's just like the angle that's available to him.
That's the best reply ever.
What a fucking cop out, first of all. But like, I feel like I try to take these like nice photos of us where we, you know, look good and everything like that, and then he'll send me a picture of myself with like, I'll have like one eye open, or Jesus, in a drag dressing room. That was very unfair. There are some horrible pictures of me getting into drag that are just floating out there on his phone. He'll take pictures and he'll like turn them into the stickers, and I am so stupid. I cannot figure out how to do it. And I've Googled it. Like I cannot figure it out. So if anyone wants to tell me, please tell me, because I would love to be able to do that. But I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a generational thing that's kind of funny. A lot of our stuff is funny like that, I think.
Like the awkward pictures. I don't think it's a height thing. I just think it's a just snap and go type of thing. Because like I've done it to David too. And he'll be like, don't post that picture. That's a horrible picture. And I'm like, okay.
I think a part of it is like a Gen Z thing too, because they do like the 0.5 thing. And I swear there are pictures that was like him with his friends that are, it's just like, why would you purposefully make your forehead look that big? I don't understand that. I feel like for the most part, we are pretty good at navigating things. We do like check in and talk about our relationship pretty regularly. So
yeah, that's always good. Have those conversations. The thing that David and I have built is like that, just saying it thing, like not keeping it in and just saying what you're feeling. If I'm feeling like frustrated, then I just like, I talk to him about it. And if he's feeling frustrated, he just talks to me about it. And that's worked really well for us to like not keep it so like bottled up inside, because that's something that we were doing.
I think it's good that you guys have similar styles and kind of like approaching conflict. I know that that's something that Ryan and I have definitely kind of struggled with a little bit. So I'm very much I feel this way. I'm going to say it. I want to talk about it. And a lot of times he likes to kind of sit with feelings, process them, think about them. And it can be kind of like a long process. And then I'm kind of like sitting over here like, oh my God, this is scary. I don't know what's going on. And it's not really like we're not communicating with one another during that time, but he's just kind of processing things and moving through it at his pace. And that can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes. So, I mean, it's good that you guys have styles that are really compatible, but like navigating that different way of processing things can be a little bit tricky sometimes, and definitely has been. But I feel like for the most part, when we have conflict, we're able to kind of point at the problem and at least identify it. And then, you know, we can definitely communicate about it. So that's a plus.
Yeah.
Some people just ignore things entirely. And I don't know. It's not good to just ignore.
The whole thing of like talking and stuff like that, that's something that I really learned in therapy. My anxiety gets worse if I keep things inside. And that's what I did for like many years, not in the relationship, but like in other relationships and like in my relationship with my family and stuff. So it just like learning how to say it and not keep it inside was definitely something that I had to learn to do. I also want to ask, what is you and Ryan's astrological signs?
He just had a birthday It was March 18th. So he's a Pisces.
So am I.
Okay. And I'm a Sagittarius, but I don't really know anything about astrology other than I'm a Sagittarius. I think I'm supposed to be a cunt, right?
Well, yeah, technically you're supposed to be, but you are, so you fit the bill.
Mission accomplished, yeah.
So the interesting thing about you talking about, like, Ryan and, like, sitting there and, like, having to, like, process things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a Pisces, but I'm the opposite. I need to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's good to kind of get stuff out. I like to get things out, try to figure out a solution, and then just be done with it. But I think as far as, like, any relationship goes, everybody's messy. Everybody's imperfect. And everybody kind of has baggage from previous situations or from, you know, anything, really, just life in general, that they're kind of bringing with them into the relationship. And I know one thing I really struggle with is kind of just letting things go.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely have trouble with that. And I don't know. I would love, like, do you have problems with that?
Yes, I do, with letting things go.
Like, what do you do? Like, how do you just, like, get over things?
It takes me a while to get over things. It really does.
Yeah.
Don't really exactly know, like, how I do it. I just know that, like,
it's time, right? Like,
yeah, it takes time for me to, like, it's almost like the outwardly processing thing. Like, I don't like to hold grudges, but I can hold feelings.
Yeah,
I'm holding the feelings around that situation, and then eventually those feelings go away and it doesn't bother me anymore, and I don't really think about it. I don't really bring it back up unless I get into, like, a really explosive fight, and then I start listing everything that the person's done wrong.
And it can be hard not to. I think everybody's guilty of that. Like, I know I have absolutely done that, and, you know, I fuck up a lot. So everybody that I've ever been in a relationship with has done the same thing with me. Well, they'll bring out the, you know, long list of everything that I've ever done wrong. And it's a lot. But I think for me, it's probably the same way. Like, I think the best solution for me is always just time, like putting time between whatever the conflict was. And yeah, I think a lot of people just look for ways to, like, speed up conflict resolution. And it just doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it's just time and stability.
Conflict resolution is almost similar to, like, the grieving process. You know, it has those processes that you have to go through to, like, resolve it.
Yeah, like the stages. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I think that, but that's what makes a relationship strong, is when, you know, your partner can, like, work with you to give you the space or to help you, like, through it, like, talk to you or listen to you or whatever.
Have you guys ever seen a couples counselor? Like, I know you mentioned having a therapist, but have you guys ever, like, gone together?
We didn't actually, like, go to one, but we had talked about, like, setting up one.
I think it's good.
Oh, yeah. Just because, like, of what I was talking about, like, with, like, the talking and stuff. But, like, we both mm-hmm. go to therapy separately.
Yeah.
So I think that it was kind of good to, like, go, like, with him, or I go, or he goes with me, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we can, like, it's almost like couples, but it's different. It's, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You're talking about your problems, but your partner's also understanding you as a person.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm actually between therapists right now. When I moved, I was able to keep my therapist from Maryland for a little while, but I had to switch. And I went to one up here, and she was just the worst, like, did not click with me. May have been a very sweet person and good therapist for someone else, but for me, not good. I did get about, I don't know, 3 minutes of stand-up out of my experience with her. So something good came of that.
3 minutes is a long time.
It is. It is. Well, there was a lot going on there. But no, I mean, it was definitely, it's been tricky, like, trying to find someone that I think is going to, that I think is going to work well with me. But I have feelers out. I'm trying to find a new therapist right now. We did actually see a couples counselor, but I don't know. We had to kind of, like, come up with rules for how to approach that too, because I don't know. Sometimes you leave and you have like really raw feelings, and you just have to kind of remember that when you're done, like you're done. And that was something that we agreed on. And then also we both agreed that we have to like the person, and we had some issues with her style. So we're on the market for in the market, whatever, for a new couples counselor. But yeah, I think it's really good. And I think that a lot of times when people hear that, like, oh, you know, we're seeing a therapist together, people will just be like, oh no, what's wrong? But
yeah, that's the stigma. That's the stigma that you get around therapy. And it's like, if you go to therapy, like personal therapy, even, like, that's the first reaction. It's like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? Like, are you struggling? Like, do you want a hug to feel better? And it's like,
yeah, I mean, it's just insane. Like, I don't understand why anyone would react that way. Like, if, and no one reacts that way about any other kind of doctor's appointment. You know, I'm not like, oh no, you went and got a mammogram? What are you doing? What's happening? Have you tried meditation? Like, anything else that's kind of like preventative care or anything like that, we don't kind of look at that way. And I think that, you know, we're both people. Like I said, people are flawed. They're imperfect. They like to make a list of three things. So what are you going to do in that situation where you realize that there are things that you could be doing better? Like, do you just ignore them and let that just get worse and worse and worse? And then all of a sudden you're 50 and you're like holding a grudge against this person. Or do you just try to figure out a better, healthier way of communicating, handling conflict, all of that good stuff? So I just feel like all couples counseling is doing is really just giving you the tools to have the best relationship possible. And why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah, it definitely is a big part of like even daily life, like with personal therapy. Like, it helps you think through things so in a positive way instead of being negative all the time.
Yeah. And it's good to just have tools. Like, I know it's like individual therapy. Like, have you ever had a panic attack before?
Yes.
I absolutely have had many panic attacks. And I have had partners in the past that haven't really been able to handle them very well. One of them, and he was a pretty fucked up person, just kind of abusive emotionally, actually recorded me having a panic attack. Like, that was really a fucked up thing to do. And then, you know, another partner just would like leave the room when it was happening, because they just didn't deal with it. But like having that individual therapist for me gave me like some like real time coping mechanisms or like strategies that I can kind of ride it out. And I had one, like I said, I had one this morning. And it just kind of took me out for a little while. And it was awful. I was just, I had to go to the bank, for something, and I was finishing up. And this, I normally, like, I'm very nice and polite with, like any like service workers like that. But so the teller was telling me this weird story. So we started talking about 911, because she asked what I did for a living, and she asked me what the weirdest call I had was. I didn't tell her, and like I didn't want to say, like, I feel like that's more, you know, workplace appropriate.
That's a stretch.
I didn't want to do the whole fisting your sister thing when I was just standing at PNC. But so I told her about that. And then she went into this long story about her family member that rented out a house and they found a guy dead in it. And I'm just standing there like, oh, shit. This is happening. I'm having difficulty like breathing. I have to really focus on regulating my breathing. Like I'm having a panic attack. And at the end of her story, I was just like, all right, I think we're done. I'm going to go. Bye. And I feel like this woman probably thought that I was like grossed out by her story. You go, Denise, or whatever your name was, tell that dead person's story again, because it was just the wrong audience. You're fine.
Yeah, I think that David's pretty good with handling them now, taking care of me like when I have panic attacks and stuff. He's really good with it. Like the whole like counting backwards from 10, breathing coaching, like he does really good with it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so it was one of those situations where Ryan wasn't around when I got home. He was in class doing his thing. I told him, I just texted him. I was like, I'm having a panic attack. And it was really nice. He texted me like a couple reassuring things. And I, you know, I appreciate that. Sometimes you just need to hear good things when you're in that headspace. So that was definitely appreciated.
Yeah, it definitely is appreciated. So, friend, it is that time to wrap it up again.
Oh, gosh. I don't think we talked about drag at all. Whatever, that's fine.
It's all right. There's more to being gay than just drag, darling.
I guess. Yeah, that's true.
You'll probably be on again. Believe me. We just took up a whole entire hour of talking about random stuff, so you'll probably be on again.
I know, and I didn't even get to talk to you about Facebook Marketplace. Maybe next time.
What? Are you teasing something?
What is the craziest thing you've ever bought on Facebook Marketplace?
I have bought a couple of things, but it was like normal stuff.
Okay. So I bought a mannequin torso on Facebook Marketplace, and I spray painted it like pink. I didn't spray paint it, I actually just painted it pink.
Huh.
Yeah. And it was kind of a sketchy situation. I think there were people that thought I was going to get murdered when I picked up this torso, but I didn't. I'm still alive.
So is it like a bust to like decorate with?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's just the front part. Like it's hollow, and I painted it. And Ryan had this idea that we should like cover it in tattoos. So it's kind of like a work in progress. But yeah, no, it's just kind of weird, and it's hanging on the wall in the living room. Yeah.
Huh. That's kind of cool, though. Like, artistically, that's cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to brag about my torso, but I think we can wrap up now, if that's okay.
I just wanted to brag about my torso. That's definitely...
I've never said that before, that's for sure. I am shaped like a potato. But no... I really appreciate you having me on again so soon. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been a lot of fun. Thank you. And you'll be on again.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. Well, that was another amazing episode with my friend Cherry, and great conversations and great topics. So you can follow us on Facebook at Always Be a Big Deal Podcast. You can listen to us on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays with different types of episodes. Mondays, Can I Eat It? Wednesdays, Always Be a Big Deal. And Friday, Chasing Fruit Flies with Jess.